Our text for this morning's meditation is from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's truly a joy and privilege to be with you this morning. And I bring greetings from all of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod chaplains serving all over the globe as they bring the word and sacrament ministry to the men and women in uniform who selflessly serve our nation today and defend our freedoms that we enjoy today. And I wanted to talk, as you can imagine, this text is a theme verse for our office, Ministry to the Armed Forces, talking about warfare and combat. Well, I want you to know, and I'm sure you do know in your own personal life, this is very appropriate even for us. You are in your own little spiritual warfare right now as we talk this morning, where the devil, our enemy, the world, and our sinful flesh are all seeking to get you away from Jesus, to get you to give up on the word of God and to fall for him and his lies, which means that we will end up in hell. So to be ready, we have to train. Our military personnel do a great job. They train and train almost every day. And so they don't need to be getting ready. They have to be ready when the balloon goes up and they have to go to war. And the institution does get them physically and mentally prepared to make a defense for our nation for the hope of freedom. The Navy SEAL motto is, "The only easy day was yesterday." Seems pretty simple for that elite fighting force, but that's maybe how you feel in your vocation as well. The only easy day was yesterday. And Abraham Lincoln once said, if you give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, I'll spend the first 4 hours sharpening the axe. Preparation and being ready are critical in any planning, especially planning a defense. It's important to be reminded that we truly do live in the church militant. We are present in a world where we are at war with the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. So I ask you this question this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready for the battles and sufferings that you will face today and in the future? What is your plan to sustain you on the battlefield of life? How will you endure? What is your hope and confidence as you go into this battle and suffering, and who knows what tomorrow will hold? Because we can't kid ourselves. We do live in a sin-sick world surrounded by evil. In America, we may not yet be hauled out of our churches, our homes, or our businesses by evil men dragged to the city square with a gun to our head or a sword to our neck, and they say, "Renounce Jesus or die." Yet we know in other parts of the world this is happening today as we speak. Christians are being executed and martyred daily for their faith, simply believing in Jesus. Yet here in our country, people are losing their jobs, their livelihoods, their positions, simply for giving a defense of the faith and speaking out against issues that go contrary to the Word of God. We're being told, you have the freedom of worship, but not the free exercise. You keep your worship in this building. Don't you dare bring it out to the public square. In your personal home, it's fine to worship, but don't you dare bring your faith in Jesus out there. Hang it at the door on the way you're out, on your way out. That's what we hear the world's telling us, to be ashamed, to go against what the devil has said that he would do, which is to bring us into hell with himself? And how often have we actually given in and stood by quietly in a discussion in the public square about cultural issues or defending God's word or God himself? We took our eyes off Jesus and began to look at the winds and rough seas of the world. We remained silent because we didn't want to be called names, labeled a bigot or judgmental or the proponent of hate speech. We don't want to suffer for what we believe. We want to be liked and accepted. It's our human nature. It's not easy to stand strong in the Lord. Now, you may be saying, come on, chaplain, I'm in the middle of a war right now, an illness, a disease, a broken relationship, guilt, depression, addiction. I know what war looks like spiritually as well as physically. I've tried everything I can to fight to win, yet the pain continues and I am stricken, smitten, and afflicted. That's where Paul in our text comes to our rescue and reminds us that we have a God who loved us, who saved us, and gave us the armor we need. It's not within ourselves. We can't stand and fight alone. We need Jesus. We need Jesus and his armor, because the devil will find a chink in our armor and bring us to despair and hopelessness. Even in physical war, we can give our troops the best equipment possible that money could buy, up-armor their vehicles, give them body armor. Yet still, we see our troops killed in combat despite all their training, all the armor they're wearing, because a piece of shrapnel or bullet found a chink in their armor. My friends, the devil will do the same to you. He knows the chink in your armor and your weaknesses. He will attack and attack and attack where you are most vulnerable. Because again, the ultimate goal of our enemy, as we heard in our text, and his evil schemes, is to get you to hell with him. He wants you to doubt the word of God. He wants you to doubt the promises of God. He wants you to lose all hope in Jesus and fall into that hopelessness and despair. Look around and see how many examples of his small victories, suicides, murder, civil unrest, war, and rumors of war. The ultimate goal of all that sin and chaos is to get us to be separated from our Lord Jesus forever. Thus, when we turn to our text today, we find that God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has prepared armor for us to fight in this church militant every day of our life. And first of all, we must remember this armor is not your armor. It's not your pastor's armor. It's not my armor. It's God's armor given to you. Listen to again these words in our text. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, not just parts of it, all of it. Why? So when the devil tries to tell you that you're not good enough to be a child of God, or you're too evil for God to love and die for, that Jesus couldn't have possibly paid for your sins, your guilt, your evilness, you may be able to stand your ground and say, get behind me, Satan. I know that I am a redeemed, baptized child of God. God has given me salvation by his grace for Christ's sake through faith. That is important. That truth of a God who cannot lie, who promises eternal life. Because truth is the first piece of gear that we talk about that holds and balances all that battle rattle, all that other armor together, keeps us centered. And that's where the devil attacks first. We can see it in our own society today, right? You have your truth, I have my truth, they have their truth, it's all fluid, there are no absolutes. But we as Christians know that that's not true. That's a lie of the devil. We have a God who cannot lie, who has promised us eternal life. And Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We live in a world that there seems to be no truth, but we hold up the armor with the truth of God, that God who's promised you eternal life has saved you. He has sent Jesus to live, to suffer, to die, and rise again for you. And now he gives that righteousness to you in a breastplate of righteousness. Other passages of scripture talk about a robe of righteousness. It's that great exchange that we talk about, that we know that we are poor, miserable sinners. We are not good enough to get to heaven on our own. We need something. We need a substitute. And that's what Jesus himself did. He lived that perfect life for you and for me. His righteousness is now given to us. And that's what Paul talks about with the breastplate of righteousness. So when the devil tells you, you're not good enough, look how bad you are. Look what you did yesterday. We'll say, yes, it's true. But I have Christ and his righteousness. I am a baptized child of God, where God reached down into the muck and mire of my sinfulness and made me his child. He literally drafted me into his army. When he put his name upon you, made you his child, the sign of the cross on your forehead and your heart, seeing that you're a child of God, made you an enemy of the devil that very moment. And that war has begun and continues today. But God has given you the breastplate of righteousness in your baptism. And in that same baptism, he created faith, that faith which clings to those promises of God. When all the world seems to be collapsing around us, we cling to that faith even as small as a mustard seed, our Lord tells us, can move mountains. That faith also given to us in our baptism holds firm, holds on to these truths and promises of God to get us through all the difficulties of our life. And then we have the helmet of salvation. I see younger kids here, so I'm sure your parents don't let you go out without wearing your helmet, whether you're skateboarding, ice skating, or riding your bike. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't take such precautions, and maybe we paid for it, I don't know. But the bottom line is a warrior, a soldier, needs a helmet to protect their head. And what Paul talks about here, the helmet of salvation, it's the knowledge of God to keep us away from the lies of the devil, to protect us. So when you put on that helmet of salvation, the bottom line is you know that you are saved. You know the end of the story. You know that no matter what comes your way today, tomorrow, and the future, you have the helmet of salvation that God has given to you by his grace for Christ's sake through faith. So don't leave home without your helmet of salvation. And then we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here our Lord really is giving us the first offensive weapon as well as defensive. And Jesus himself used this weapon in his battle with the devil in the wilderness. You remember the devil's temptations in the wilderness were strictly using God's word and misapplying it. Jesus didn't use any powerful miracles, all the temptations the devil gave him, but strictly spoke the word of God back to the devil, the truth of God's word, the two-edged sword that beats back the devil and his lies. Martin Luther once said in our famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress, one little word can fell him. Get behind me, Satan. God has given us a piece of armor that is defensive and offensive in our spiritual warfare. What a real gift of God that we have the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures at our fingertip disposal. We can wake up in the morning and have our personal devotions and then just dig into the Word of God. We can memorize it, say it throughout the day, come here to hear it, to sing it, to worship, to again hear the good Word of God. And one of my favorite prayers that our church has, it's called the Collect of the Word, or our prayer is on something about the Word of God. I want you to hear this and see how powerful this is. Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them or take it to heart, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, why we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. What a powerful tool, weapon that God has given us to stand there. So when you get up in the morning, get out your sword, get out the word of God, commit it to memory. Bring it out into the battlefield of life because it will sustain you no matter what comes your way. And finally, feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, sometimes we overlook that, and maybe in your vacation Bible school, maybe your professors or your teachers or whatever didn't talk too much about the feet. It's not very sexy. But as any foot soldier or grunt marine can tell you, it does matter what you have on your feet. Because without the proper protection, it's easy to slow down, lose your ground, and not stand firm. Even today, we use the phrase boots on the ground. It's all about combat, boots on the ground. And when you read this text, here often you hear the words stand firm, hold the line, stand strong. The Roman soldiers used to have spikes in their footwork to help hold the ground, to move forward as they went into battle. And so what God is telling us, I have given you feet, but it's the gospel of peace, the peace which passes all understanding, the peace which the world cannot give and cannot understand, that even though all crazy things are happening around me, I have that peace of God which passes all understanding, which allows me to move forward, to witness and share the gospel, the peace that passes all understanding, not just human understanding. It's knowing that we are forgiven, that we are saved, that we are redeemed children of God, the peace that gives us the strength to continue in this veil of tears, in this church militant, this present warfare, because we know the end of the line. We know that we are forgiven children of God and that God who loves us will never leave us nor forsake us. The peace of knowing that all things work out for the good according to his purpose. The peace that comes that even though you will continue to feel pain, feel sadness, struggle with your own pet sins and temptations, pain in relationships, pain in illness and disease, loneliness and the loss of loved ones, yet in all that, you stand firm and have peace as you live in a sick world and all that comes with it, because heaven is our home. So our Jesus has defeated our enemy and has given us the armor we need to endure until either our end comes or Jesus returns again on that last day. So we move out and share that peace with our neighbors. So I ask you again this morning, are you ready? Are you ready to face the temptations, the trials that will befall you? Are you ready to face the pain that may come your way? Are you ready to stand firm in Christ against all odds? Yes, yes, you are ready because God has made you ready in Christ Jesus by the grace of God for Christ's sake through faith. Amen.